So I'd like to give the instructions on meditation posture, and it's particularly, I think, useful to get some focus to posture when we meditate. And there's a number of reasons for that. One is that posture itself is a object of mindfulness, of attention. And so if you're paying attention to your posture, you're paying attention, you're being mindful. And the Buddha gave clear instructions about being mindful of ourselves in different postures, mindful when we're sitting, standing, lying down, walking, and also in different activities. There's a lot to learn about ourselves through our posture. We have this interesting word in English about dual meaning of posture. It's how we hold ourselves, you know, in terms of our body, but sometimes also it's people socially posture themselves, place themselves, you know, in relationship to other people, and that's sometimes exhibited through their body, how they puff up or do different things. And in more subtle ways, our posture expresses our attitude towards life and how we live. And by taking an aligned, upright posture, it does a few things. It kind of creates the best conditions for both physical and psychological well-being as we meditate, but also it becomes a reference point to notice when we change from that, when we slump or pull back or collapse in some way, that that helps us to understand and see what's going on for us psychologically or emotionally. The primary reason to do posture instruction at the beginning of a retreat is to avoid having unnecessary discomfort. And if there's some structural change that would avoid your discomfort, it's important or it's helpful to make that change. I think that it's unfortunate to sit with discomfort or pain that's unnecessary. Part of the care that goes into hearing posture instruction is not to assume that there's a perfect posture out there, that if you fidget enough, you'll find it and you'll never be uncomfortable ever again. Sitting with discomfort is part of what happens in especially a retreat. It's a normal part of retreat within reason. And learning how to work with it is one of the great benefits of mindfulness and meditation practice, learning how to find our ease and equanimity around discomfort. Here on the retreat, you're always welcome to change your posture at any time. And if you suspect that you're going to be too challenged or it's going to be too difficult or that you're injuring yourself, by all means, change your posture. But we also encourage you to a little bit stay with the discomfort and work the edge of it a little bit, just so that you get to understand yourself and learn to explore what it's like to have a more calm, equanimous attention of discomfort. If you're only free when you're comfortable, you're not really free. So to work with discomfort is part of the practice. So I'll talk a little bit about sitting on the floor and also sitting in a chair. The kind of the classic posture in Buddhism for meditation is the cross-legged seated position on the ground or on a mat on the floor. And we have this famous image of the Buddha sitting cross-legged. And it has some benefits sitting that way. One of them that you have make a nice tripod with your knees and your bottom. And it has, for some people, they feel a nice stable base that way, sitting this way. Sometimes it's easier to relax more deeply into the kind of lower belly when you sit this way. And some people find that it's a very nice posture for the back. It turns out that I think for some people can do it, sitting full lotus is also very nice. It tends to put the back in a very nice upright posture. It also tends to be more alert. So it has a benefit sitting this way, a variety of benefits, but it's fine to sit in the chair, and there are benefits sitting in chair as well. A lot of them have to do with, you know, our body, and some people can't sit this way. For those of you who might feel a little bit like, you know, sitting in a chair is somehow not okay for meditation, Buddhist mythology says that the next Buddha who's coming will be sitting in a chair. So maybe it'll be one of you. So first about sitting on the floor. We say, we talk about sitting cross-legged on the floor. I recommend that you don't actually sit cross-legged, but have one leg in front of the other. Sometimes it's called tailor fashion or Burmese fashion. And the reason for that is it puts the least amount of torque on your knees or on your ankles. And once you start going into half lotus or full lotus, it's a lot of twisting of the knee and the ankle that sometimes is not healthy for you. And but one of the things you should be aware of sitting on the floor, that the more open your hips are, the easier it is to sit this way. You don't want to put too much twist on your knees. You want to be able to kind of turn, twist as much as you can in the hip joint. And so doing hips stretches and things like that, opening up the hips helps a lot. Also, when you go to bring your legs down, if you have any kind of discomfort in your knees, you want to kind of maybe sit like this first, and kind of stretch out of your hip joint a little bit the best you can, and kind of loosen it up a little bit. And then when you lay your leg down, if you grab it kind of, and try not to pull your leg up like this, but try to kind of make all the turning to go in your hip and kind of lay it down. If you lean towards the knee that's going down, it doesn't twist as much. And then you pull up, you're kind of stretching a little bit in the hip joint. So it's a little bit easier to do on the second leg going down, kind of to pull out of the hip joint a little bit. And then as you go down, some people will swing their leg back and forth to kind of keep the hip joint opening, and then kind of lean that direction and lay the foot down, leg down, and then straighten up with your back. Some people find that the experiment with how close the knees are to each other, or how far they're apart from each other, or how close the legs are, the feet are to the underneath your body, or how far away it is. Little differences can make a big difference in comfort level. We recommend that you sit elevated, and how elevated how elevated you sit has a lot to do with how open your hips are. People who are quite open can sit really low. That works well for them. People who are tighter can sit higher. And ideally, you'd get your knees down on the mat. And so sit as high as you need to get your knees down. At some point, you can't sit really high. So at some point, if you can't get your knees down, you can get something and put underneath it. So if your knees are up in the air, you can get some other, like a little towel or something, or blanket or pillow, and put it underneath your knees so that they're not kind of dangling in the air. And sometimes slowly over time, the hip opens up and the knees can come down. so to sit with different, experiment with different heights. There's also different ways of sitting. There is this so-called cross-legged position this way. Some people will find that sitting that way works really well with what's called a crescent moon pillow, like this, because it distributes the weight of your body more broadly and widely. Some people find this more comfortable. There are kapok cushions, which are made of kind of like a cotton material, and there's buckwheat filling, which is more buckwheat seeds that have more like a seed-like quality. And I like sitting in those quite a bit. Different people find different things that work better. You can also sit on your knees, and the way that's done is if you you can take one of these round pillows and put it upright like this, and then put it between your ankles, and then sit down. And that works very well for some people. And some people find that if you're relatively new to this, or even if you're not, it's best in the course of a meditation retreat to switch a little bit to what postures you sit in, so you don't build up a strain in any one posture. So you might find you have one of your favorite posture, but then maybe a few sittings through the day. You might sit in a chair, or might sit this way, another way, just so that it varies the things. And this works well. And there's also, you can do this the same kind of effect by getting a bench. And you know, the bench you would put it over your legs, your feet like this, and sit down. And that works well as well. Some people, when they sit this way, do find there's sometimes a lot of pressure on their knees. And if they have sensitive knees, if you come all the way forward, like this, so the knees are over the air, and so the pressure goes in the shin rather than the knees. Some people find that a little bit helpful, and some people find that because their feet are flattened out this way, it's uncomfortable. If they come all the way to the back of the mat and have the toes go over to the edge of the back, or even their ankles over the edge of the back, that somehow that does makes a little bit of difference into the comfort level for the feet or the ankles. They've known people who've had two of these mats get a little higher for the same purpose, to be able to drape over the back. And then, I used to have knee problems, and I found that when I sat this way, if I sat all the way to the front of the mat and had my toes over the edge of the mat, or my ankle like this over the edge, that then the little bit less twisting that happened here in my ankle would create a little bit less twisting in the knee. And it made enough difference that it made difference for me when I sat. People who are new to sitting this posture will sometimes find that their legs fall asleep. And that's fairly common. And usually it works itself out. I guess the circulation finds new routes or something changes over time. Usually lasts for a couple of weeks or something. Occasionally some people, it goes on for a long time and they decide it's not worth sitting this way and they'll sit in chairs. Generally, if you get up from sitting this way and when the end of a sitting, if your foot is asleep, don't stand up right away. Make sure your sensations come back. We had one retreat, someone broke one of the little bones in her foot because she stood up too quickly and she fell down. So just wait, you can massage your foot, tap it, shake it, and then when you're sure you have your sensation back, then you can stand. If it takes more than 2, 3, 4 minutes for the sensation to come back, then it's likely that you're pinching a nerve rather than cutting the blood circulation. And then you never want to pinch a nerve, so that's because then you can cause lasting damage. So it's kind of rare, but it has occasionally happened. So if you if it takes that long to get the sensation back, then never sit that way you just sat. Sometimes just a subtle variation make a difference. Don't have that particular kind of numbness occur again. If you're sitting in a chair, the classic posture there is to have the legs parallel to each other and the feet firmly on the ground without the legs crossing each other. And though some people like to have spread out their knees kind of wide and have a wider base, they find that useful. But the idea is to have a firm foundation for your feet. And these chairs we have here at IRC are, they lean back slightly, the seats of them, so that it's a little bit the wrong angle. So some people find it helpful to use the wedges, these black wedges that changes the angle, or to build up a blanket in the back to kind of make it flat, or even the wedges make it kind of slant down towards the front. And that helps kind of tip the hips forward a little bit. And if you don't have to use the backrest, sometimes it's nice to avoid the backrest in a chair, just so it's easier to stay alert and be self-reliant and self-supportive, and it's kind of helps the practice if you don't use it. If you have to use a backrest, it's completely fine. One way to use a backrest, if your back allows it, is to only use it at the lower part of the back. And so kind of lean forward and scoot yourself really firmly back into the backrest, and then snake up and feel really good support back there. If you need to use the whole backrest, that's fine. Some people find it interesting to roll up a towel into kind of a long cylinder and then put it down vertically along their spine. And then when they lean back in the chair, it kind of pushes their chest slightly forward and lets their shoulder blades kind of fall back a little bit. If you're and then with your hands, you can do, oh, there's a little trick you can do that can help you with a straight back, and that is both in the chair and on the mat, you can lift your, put your hand on either side of your hips and push yourself almost off your seat. And when you do that, your chest kind of comes out. And then as you let go of your arms, let your shoulders roll back by themselves, kind of. And for some people, that makes a nice, more open feeling in the chest, and the shoulders are more hanging and a little bit straighter in the back to kind of feel what it's like. Another, you can do anything you want with your hands. I like to have them on my thighs. So the classic posture is to have your hands together, one on top of the other, in front of you. Whatever you'd like. But what you have to be a little bit careful for is that you're not pulling your shoulders forward. If you have your hands too far forward, you're pulling forward. And or if you have your hands resting in your ankles or your heels, you also maybe might be pulling the shoulders forward. And you can build up a strain in your muscles in the back of the shoulders. Some people have a lot of discomfort there anyway because of how they sit at a computer or work or something, and or tension they hold there. So another little trick that you can do to help with your shoulders is if you bring one shoulder up to your ear and then pull your hand forward, straight forward while the shoulder's up, and then do a big windmill all the way around with your hands facing the ceiling as you put it on your lap. And if you do that, you might feel a little more open in that shoulder. So you have to first bring your shoulder up and then stretch the hand straight forward and then all the way around and come back like this. And so that, and you're welcome to do that during the during the meditation sessions here, just not too often, but you know, once or twice if you feel like it's useful. And then you want to be careful with the curve in the lower part of your back. For most people, there's a natural little curve that you want to keep there. And so some people are overarched when they meditate. Some people are underarched. Being completely flat in the lower part of the back doesn't work for most people over a long period of time. Or if you push out, that doesn't work. So you want to have a little bit of strength, the natural curve in the lower back. And then your head can be anywhere on your neck, on your shoulders, where it's square and solid. And what I mean by that is that it's not useful to have your head hanging forward, because the head's fairly heavy, and so the muscles in your back have to do a lot of work to hold it up. So if you have it squarely on your shoulders, it's actually more relaxing. And then also, it's ideally you wouldn't twist to one side with your head and look left or to the right. And also, some people will look up towards the ceiling. I mean, their eyes are closed, but their chin will come up. And that also puts a strain on the neck. So one thing to do is maybe in the middle of a meditation session sometimes, if you feel some discomfort in your head or your neck, is to open your eyes and look straight out what you think is straight, and see where you're looking. And if you're looking up at the ceiling, that's probably a sign that you can tuck your chin down. Or if you're looking, way to the right or the left, or if you're, it looks like you're studying your heel, then maybe it's, you can lift your head up. So be a little bit careful with your head. In our tradition of meditation, we tend to sit with the eyes closed. And if it's all equal to you, we recommend the eyes closed. If you're more comfortable with the eyes open, then you're welcome to do that. Usually you kind of keep it half open, looking down about 45 degrees to the floor, and have the kind of focus you would have looking at a mountain far in the distance. So you're not really looking at anything at all here, just kind of loose focus. And even when the eyes are closed, it's helpful not to be using your eyes to look. Some people have such a habit of looking that even when the eyes close, they're kind of like staring at their breath or their breathing or something. So if you can notice what you're doing with your eyes and just let them relax, that can be helpful. And um, Some people find that there's a lot of tension in their jaws, and so being a little careful with the position of your mouth and your teeth can be helpful. If you, some people find it helpful to have the lips slightly touching, but the teeth slightly apart, and that can sometimes help soften some of the tension that people might carry there. So those are the basics for the posture, and. In the course of a retreat, if you have questions about your posture and you want to have a teacher look at your posture, you can ask me or Adrian, leave a note for us or something. Because sometimes someone can see from the outside things you can't feel for yourself. There was a time in my practice where I really leaned really far to the left, and my teacher would come and straighten me out. And when that was straight, I was convinced that now I'd been pushed to the right. Because I thought I was sitting straight. So sometimes our inner sense of balance is not so accurate. And so a teacher can sometimes see, someone can see from the outside, you know, little shifts that can make a difference. And so if you, would like to have that at some point in the retreat, you're welcome to ask. And my hope is that over time, that you'll find that your posture is your friend, that your posture is a great support for you and something that you appreciate having, and that it's, you find a posture that you find stable and comfortable to sit in, and that kind of little bit feels like it expresses awareness. And so when you sit down, you feel like your posture itself is a support for awareness, for stability, for concentration, and kind of keeps you here and keeps you connected and keeps you connected to your body in a nice way. It takes a while for that to kind of define that, and it's well worth the time it takes to kind of get familiar, let the body get familiar with the posture, find just the right way. And you'll find that over time, ever so slightly, maybe imperceptibly, your body will start adjusting and changing with the meditation, with the posture. And at some point, it's quite beautiful, you see that people get kind of a yogic body. Their body kind of settles in and is adapted and fits into this kind of posture in a way that's quite a nice refuge. So thank you. And what I can do now, we have about 15 minutes, so what I can do now is if some of you would like me to come around and look at your posture, and if you have questions, I can come up individually to you. I don't know if I have time for all of you now, but I'll do what I can. And the rest of you can go out and do some walking meditation. And I hope that you'll come to a time of enjoying your posture. Thank you.